Please be seated. And Jesus said, "Behold your mother." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God has given us his own Mother Mary to be your mother also. Mary is powerful because she is the Mother of God. And Mary wants to help us because she is the refuge of sinners. We also know that Jesus loves his mother, and therefore he wants us to love her also. But what can we do to show our love for the Mother of God? There are two important devotions, the Rosary and the Brown Scapular. According to an old legend, St. Dominic one day ran across a Carmelite friar in the city of Rome, and he said to the friar, "One day, through the Rosary and the Scapular, the Mother of God will save the world." And so today on Rosary Sunday, we're going to consider the Holy Rosary in two points: why you should pray your Rosary daily, and how you can pray your Rosary without pain. Firstly, why you should pray your Rosary daily. Let's take a look a little bit at the history of the Rosary, because by looking through the past, we'll see that there are remarkable graces attached to this prayer. St. Dominic, back in the 13th century, converted the city of Toulouse, France, back to Catholicism from the Albigensian heresy through use of the Rosary. In the 1500s, the Jesuit St. Peter Canisius added the second half of the Hail Mary, the Holy Mary, Mother of God, etc., and he encouraged the Rosary among Catholics as a means of repairing the damage done by the Protestant revolt to the true Church of Christ. You all know the story of the Battle of Lepanto. On October the 7th, 1571, there was a great victory of the Christians over the Muslims. Earlier, because of the Muslim invasion of Europe at the time, Pope St. Pius V called on a rosary crusade throughout Christendom, asking everyone to pray the rosary so that Europe would not be overcome by the Muslims. And despite the most incredible odds, the small Christian forces won a great naval victory over the much larger Muslim navy. You also know the story of Our Lady of Fatima. On October the 13th, 1917, the Blessed Virgin told the three children her name. She said, "I am the Lady of the Rosary." And as you know, in the previous apparitions, she had asked the children to pray the Rosary every day. So why should you pray your Rosary? We can basically say that there are three reasons. Firstly, because Our Lady herself has asked it of us. Sister Lucia Fatima says that there is no problem, no matter how difficult it is, that cannot be helped by the prayer of the Holy Rosary. A second reason why you should pray your Rosary is because Our Lady has attached so many graces from God attached to it. It is piously believed that Our Lady gave 15 promises to St. Dominic in the 1200s for those who would pray the Rosary daily. While I won't read out all the promises, I will give you a few of them with a few explanations, a few encouraging examples. The first promise, she says, "To all those who will pray my Rosary devoutly, I promise my special protection and great graces." Now, to give you an example of this, August the 6th, 1945, the day that the atom bomb was dropped on Hiroshima in Japan, there was a Jesuit house right at ground zero. There were 8 Jesuits living there, and none of them suffered radiation effects after the war. The doctors said that it was absolutely miraculous. Normally they should have been dead, or at least been suffering incredible radiation effects. And the Jesuit superior afterwards, he said, "The reason why we were protected by God," he said, "was because in that house we lived and prayed our Rosary daily." The third promise of Our Lady, the rosary will be a very powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, deliver from sin, and dispel heresy. To give another example of this, a number of years ago, I had a friend who was a convert from the Episcopalian Church. He had been brought up as Episcopalian, and a friend of his, when he was still a young man, a Catholic friend, gave him a rosary, and of course, he didn't know what to do with that. So he walked into a Novus Ordo Catholic Church one day, picked up one of those little brochures, you've probably all got a copy at home, it says, you know, how to pray the rosary, and you've got this little diagram of the rosary there, and it's got little arrows saying, say Our Father here, say 10 Hail Marys here, you know what it's like. So, of course, he didn't realize that he was supposed to say the whole Our Father and the whole Hail Mary each time. So he picked up the rosary, took his brochure, and said, Our Father, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. And Our Lady actually heard his prayer. Because even though he didn't know how to pray the rosary really, she saw his good will. And as a result, he made a wonderful conversion to the Catholic Church. And, of course, he's very devoted to his mother in heaven. The sixth promise of Our Lady, whoever recites my rosary, devoutly reflecting on the mysteries, will never be overwhelmed by misfortune. He will not experience the anger of God, nor will he perish by an unprovided death. The sinner will be converted, the just will persevere in grace and merit eternal life. To give you another example to illustrate this, The mother of some family friends. The mother had, unfortunately, when the youngest of the children, there were four children in the family, the youngest child was still very little, maybe about 5 years old. And the mother left the family, walked out on her husband, started shacking up with another man. Really horrible story, unfortunately. But the rest of the family at home with dad, the kids, they prayed the rosary every day for mom to come back. Now, 20 years passed. 20 years. The family had kept up those rosaries all that time, and the mother had been diagnosed. She wasn't that old. She was maybe 60 years old. She had been diagnosed with cancer, and the doctors gave her a year to live. And fortunately, all those rosaries that her family had prayed for her, suddenly the grace hit her. She completely, in that last year of her life, she completely changed her life. She left the man she was living with, came back to the family. Of course, the kids were all grown up by this time. And she was very devoted to the Mother of God. She used to give out round scapulars and rosaries to all her friends, and she promoted the Fatima message. And fortunately, she died a very good death, which is a wonderful story of a conversion through Our Lady's rosary. The seventh promise of Our Lady, those truly devoted to my rosary will not die without the sacraments of the Church. Another example. Years ago, I had some friends out in St. Mary's, Kansas. Old Mrs. Gentges had been very devoted to the Mother of God all her life long. She used to make rosaries, and then she would send them off to the foreign missions off in Asia. And, of course, she prayed, I think she prayed like at least three rosaries a day. Good old Mrs. Gentges. In her last years, though, she had developed a very severe case of Alzheimer's disease. So much so that she didn't even recognize her husband anymore, if you believe that. And yet, it was on the... As a result of the Alzheimer's, of course, she was unable to receive the sacraments because she wasn't there enough to make a confession. But believe it or not, on the 7th of October, that's the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, suddenly her memory came back entirely. She asked her daughter to get a priest because she wanted to make a confession. The priest came. The priest heard her confession, gave her Holy Communion, Viaticum, and also last rites. The very next day, Mrs. Gentges' memory was gone again, and she died within a week. But we see here the goodness of God, the goodness of God's mother in giving Mrs. Gentges that last grace. The ninth promise of the Blessed Virgin, I will deliver promptly from purgatory souls devoted to my rosary. And the 15th and last promise, devotion to my rosary is a special sign of predestination. So that's the second reason why you should be devoted to the daily rosary, because Our Lady has attached so many graces to it. And there's a third reason also, because the daily rosary helps preserve families. We priests, and probably you also in your daily life, have seen this very much among families. It's the families who pray the rosary every day, you get vocations from these families. And the servant of God, Father Patrick Peyton, before the Vatican II, he was the leader of the Family Rosary Crusade in America. He was the one who came up with the very famous phrase, "The family that prays together stays together." And that's very true. Let's go on to our second point now to see how to pray the rosary painlessly. There are perhaps three typical complaints that people make. Firstly, they'll say, "Oh, Father, I'm so distracted during the rosary." Secondly, they'll say, "I simply don't know how to pray it. I just seem to repeat words." And thirdly, "Oh, Father, the children distract me while we're praying." So let's take a look at each of these complaints and see how we can make it easier for ourselves and our families. The first complaint, "Father, I'm so distracted." Let's take a look at distractions. We can't be surprised by distractions because it's part of being human. You see, angels don't get distractions because they don't have bodies. Because we have bodies, we do get distractions. And oftentimes, it's the smallest things in life that'll distract us during prayer. Squirrel. We can make a distinction between deliberate and indeliberate distractions, because though they look similar, they are actually very different. Let's give an example of a deliberate distraction. Okay, you're praying your rosary, you're on your eighth Hail Mary of the decade, when suddenly you realize that all this time you've been thinking about palm trees on a deserted island in the South Pacific. And you think, "Oh, this is a lot more fun to think about than the mystery of the rosary. I'll keep thinking about these palm trees." Okay, now that's a deliberate distraction. And yeah, it's venially displeasing to God, because it's a kind of rudeness towards God when you're talking to Him in prayer. That's a deliberate distraction, and we need to avoid those. But an indeliberate distraction will look like the other one, but it's different. Let's take a look at this. You're on your eighth Hail Mary when suddenly you realize that all this time you've been thinking about these palm trees on this deserted island in the South Pacific. And you think to yourself, "Oh my gosh, I've wasted eight Hail Marys. Well, let me at least turn my mind back to the mystery so for the least two Hail Marys so I don't waste those." Now, this is an indeliberate distraction. It's involuntary on your part. And because you are pushing this distraction out of your mind, it does not displease God, nor does it even take away the value from your prayer. It's not like you've been wasting those eight Hail Marys. And why is that? St. Teresa of Avila gives us the answer. She says, you can imagine your soul as this house. The upper part of the house are the higher parts of your soul. That's your intellect and your will. Your intellect, what we call your mind, is the power of thinking. The will, what we usually call our heart, is the power of loving, of willing, of wanting, of desiring. Now, these two faculties, your intellect and your will, are purely spiritual faculties. That means you can't feel them. Whereas, St. Teresa explains, the lower part of the house, the lower part of your soul, what we call the feelings, the emotions, the imagination, and the memory, these are the lower parts of the soul. Lower if you want, because closer to the body if you want to think of it that way. Now, and we're very aware of our memory, of our imagination, of our feelings and emotions. Now, here's what happens in an indeliberate distraction. It's that lower part of your soul that is there among those palm trees on this deserted island. Whereas the higher part of your soul, God can actually have His finger in your soul, in your intellect, in your will, and you're not aware of it because those are purely spiritual faculties and you can't feel God's presence there. And that's why you should never be discouraged, because your feelings are going haywire, are rebelling, and because you cannot feel God's action in your soul. He is there acting even when you are not aware of that. And that's why your prayer is not only not displeasing to God, but it can be very pleasing to Him. As long as you set aside those distractions each time they come, even a million times in one rosary. St. Francis de Sales sums this up beautifully, saying, even if you do nothing else during your prayer but dispel temptations and distractions, he says, it is still prayer well made. That should be a great consolation to you. Now, the second complaint, Father, I just don't know how to pray. I seem to be simply repeating words. Okay, now this is a very good question, and we need to address it. Basically, there are two methods of praying the rosary well, and it depends on what kind of person you are. Some people have a very vivid imagination. Others are very abstract in their train of thought, and so there will be a different method for each kind of temperament. So if you have a vivid imagination, make it work for you. Let's give an example. You're praying the first joyful mystery of the rosary, the Annunciation. Imagine what's going on. Ask yourself, where is it happening? The little house of Nazareth. Who is present? The Blessed Virgin Mary. What is she doing? She's just finished her housework, and now she's kneeling down to pray. What does she do? She takes out the book of Isaiah and begins to read the phrase where it says, behold, a virgin will conceive and will bear a son, and will call his name Emmanuel. What does she do then? She begins to pray for the coming of the Messiah. What happens next? Suddenly you see a bright light enter the room, and the angel Gabriel is standing in the light. What does the angel say? Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Dot, dot, dot. You get the idea. In other words, if you've got a vivid imagination, make it work for you. But let's say that you do not have a vivid imagination, that you are much more abstract in the way that you think. There's a different method, the method of the virtues, which can be very helpful for these persons. So for each decade of the rosary, you identify the virtue associated with it, and then the opposing vice. So let's take that first joyful mystery, the Annunciation. The virtue of this mystery is humility. Firstly, because Our Lady humbles herself to God's will, and secondly, because Jesus, who is this infinite being, descends, is this little, takes on this created finite human nature in the womb of his mother. So humility is the appropriate virtue for the Annunciation. What is the opposite vice? Pride. Then you go ahead and make an examination of conscience regarding this virtue and this vice. You ask yourself with regards to thoughts, words, and actions. How does pride show in my thoughts? Do I think myself better than others? In my words, do I say mean things to others so they know exactly what I think about them? Then, with regards to actions, am I brusque with others? Do I turn myself on them when I am no longer interested in what they do and show my pride that way? Then, after having made an examination of conscience on the virtue of the mystery, you then make an appropriate resolution. For example, for humility, it might be, when someone criticizes me, instead of talking back, I will bite my tongue and offer it up. And in this way, persons with a more abstract train of thought will still be able to gain very much from their daily rosary. Now, the third common complaint, Father, the children distract us when we're praying the rosary. And that's very understandable. We can take a look at a couple ways to make it easier for the family, though. Ideally, the little ones should be present for the family rosary, even if they can't concentrate in terms of 2 and 3 year olds. Now, from the age of reason, so about age 7 or so, ideally the children should be kneeling down. And it's very helpful to have a picture book for them. There are some very nice picture books of the rosary that have been published in the last few years. The Angelus Press does a very nice one. Also, Sophia Press, I believe it is, has just published a new one with pictures of the rosary. Oftentimes these books actually have one picture for every Hail Mary, which is good both for children and also for those of us older ones who also need the pictures. And also, there's also the Society Chapel on Long Island in Farmingville, New York. They've done their own picture book also of the rosary. So these picture books can be very helpful for the kids. And if you have both teenagers and younger kids, make them work for you. The teenagers need to make sure they're not praying the rosary too fast. Hail Mary, full of grace, Jesus. Hello, did you just say that? So yeah, you need to make sure that they are actually praying and concentrating as well as they can on the rosary. And if you've got the teenagers and the younger ones, have the teenagers take that picture book and explain the pictures to their younger siblings during the rosary. Because that way, the little ones are learning from their older siblings. The teenagers are having these mysteries of our Lord's life imprinted more deeply on their own minds. And mom and dad are able to spend a little bit of time in prayer, a little more peacefully that way. So we've seen how you can show your love for your mother in heaven in these 2 points. Why you should pray your rosary daily and how you can pray it painlessly. But Father, the 15 minutes of the rosary each day, I'm dying. Okay, then if you need to start off small, say 1 decade a day, that's only 3 minutes. But Father, that's still too much. Okay, if you need to start really small, try 3 Hail Marys. This is an ancient practice. It started off originally as a devotion in honor of Our Lady of Sorrows. It then developed in one way as what we now know as the Angelus, but then it developed in another way with St. Leonard of Port Morris, who was a 17th century Capuchin friar, and he turned this into a popular devotion. He says, twice a day, once when you wake up and again before you go to bed, kneel down and pray 3 Hail Marys in honor of Our Lady's purity and her Immaculate Conception. And St. Leonard says that if you persevere in this little practice of devotion to the Mother of God, God will give you 3 graces. Firstly, the grace of chastity according to your state of life, which is no small grace. Secondly, that if you have misfortune to offend God by a deliberate mortal sin, you'll be able to make a good confession as soon as possible. And thirdly, the final grace of salvation. So for such a small price, it only takes 1 minute every morning and every evening. That's not enough to kill anyone. You can get so many graces from God from saying these 3 Hail Marys. And to encourage you with this little devotion, there's a story that St. Alphonsus tells in his book on the glories of Mary. He presents this as a historical fact. We don't need to be bothered whether it is historical or not. It's the moral of the story that's most important for us. Once upon a time, in Naples, Italy, in the 1400s, there was a certain gentleman of the city who had completely given up the practice of his Catholic faith. Indeed, he made a mockery of it at every opportunity he had. But he was also rather well known in the city because he had a pet monkey. And at dinner time, the gentleman would ring a silver bell on the dining room table, and the monkey would come out of the kitchen, dressed up in a little red fez and a little red velvet cloak. And the monkey would actually serve the plates to the guests, and then the monkey would do a few tricks before returning to the kitchen. One day, however, there was a holy old priest of Naples who heard about the gentleman and about his monkey, and he thought he'd teach the man a lesson. So the priest came to the gentleman's house, knocked on the door, was let in by the servant. The gentleman comes down to meet the priest in the parlor. "Well, father," the gentleman said, "I never thought I'd see a priest darkening my doorway. You know what I think of the Catholic faith. That is a bunch of hooey." The priest just smiled and nodded and said, "Oh yeah, I know what you think. But I've actually heard about your pet monkey," he said, "and I quite like to see him do his tricks." "Very well, father," the gentleman said. "Come into the dining room, and as soon as all the guests are here, you'll be able to see the monkey do his performance." Once everyone had arrived for dinner, they all sat down at the dining room table, and the gentleman rang the silver bell. But no monkey came out of the kitchen. Perplexed, the gentleman rang the silver bell a second time, but still no monkey. "I don't know where he could be," the gentleman exclaimed. "Well," the priest said, "let's go through your house and try to find him." And that's what they did. They all went from room to room to the house, and they finally found the monkey in the gentleman's bedroom, hiding beneath the gentleman's bed. And there was the monkey, shivering and shaking. And the closer the priest came to him, the further the monkey receded into the back corner of the room and began hissing and spitting at the priest. "I don't know what's got into him," the gentleman said. "He's never acted like this before." "I think I know what the problem is," the priest said. And then, addressing the monkey, he said, "Come out from under the bed and tell us who you are." And the monkey, still shivering and shaking, comes out from beneath the bed and begins to speak to the gentleman. "I am a demon from hell," he says, "who has taken on the form of a monkey who attends to your every bid and call. But I remain under your bed every night, waiting for the first time when you will forget that abominable custom taught you by your mother of praying 3 Hail Marys before you go to sleep. For then, and only then, do I have permission to strangle you in your sleep and drag your soul to the fires of hell." Instantaneously, the monkey disappeared in a cloud of smoke, and the gentleman, you can imagine, he had turned white, and he turned to the priest, and the priest said to him, "Thank God that even though you have made a mockery of your Catholic faith, that still you have kept up this one little devotion that your mother taught you to the Mother of God. It's thanks to the Blessed Virgin Mary that you are not already dead and burning in hell." Immediately, the gentleman knelt down and asked the priest to hear his general confession. St. Alphonsus relates that that man made such a good conversion that he became the edification of the city of Naples, and that he was well known especially for his great devotion to the Mother of God. Let this be an encouragement, then, for you and your families to pray your 3 Hail Marys each morning and each evening. Parents, teach this devotion to your children. Grandparents, teach it to your grandkids. Don't forget your 3 Hail Marys, and don't forget to look under your bed. As we come to the end of our parish mission, be determined to make some good resolutions which will help you to change your life for the future. Because as you leave here after Mass today, who's going to be waiting for you out there on the driveway? The devil. And he's going to be waiting to see if you are determined to change your life or not. Because if you leave here today unprepared, the devil's going to see that you are weaponless. "Ha," he's going to say, "that parish mission, that general confession has done them no good. I'm going to have them back in their old sins next week." But if you leave here today knowing that you need to change your life even in small ways, and that you are willing to take the resolutions necessary to change your life, then the devil will see that you've got the weapons you need to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. So let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, God's mother and yours, to give strength to your resolutions, especially that you might grow in the love of God, so that one day you can be happy with him forever in heaven. Let's sum up in 3 sentences everything that we've seen during this weekend of our parish mission. That God has created you for the unending happiness of heaven. He has died to save you from the fires of hell. Now he asks you to change your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.